The Transfiguration of the Lord, year B, August the 6th. The first reading from the book of the prophet Daniel. As I watched, throne was set up, and the ancient one took his throne. His clothing was bright as snow, and the hair on his head as white as wool. His throne were flames of fire, with wheel of burning fire. A surging stream of fire flowed out from where he sat. Thousands upon thousands were ministering to him, and myriad upon myriad attended him. The court were convened, and the books were opened. As the vision during the night continued, I saw one like a son of man coming on the cloud of heaven. When he reached the ancient one and was presented before him, the one like a son of man received dominion, glory, and kingship. All people, nations, and languages serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that shall not be taken away. His kingship shall not be destroyed. The second reading from the second of Peter. Beloved, we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we make known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we have been eyewitnesses of his majesty, for he received honor and glory from God the Father. When that unique declaration came to him from the majestic glory, "This is my Son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased." We ourselves heard his voice come from heaven, while we were with him on the holy mountain. Moreover, we possess the prophetic message that is altogether reliable. You will do well to be attentive to it, as to a lamp shining in the dark place, until day dawn and the morning star rises in your heart. Gospel according to Mark, chapter 9, verse 2 to 10. Jesus took Peter, James, and his brother John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, so that no fuller on earth could bleach them. Then Elijah appeared to them along with Moses, and they were conversing with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus in reply, "Rabbi, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He hardly knew what to say. They were so terrified. Then a cloud came, casting a shadow over them. From the cloud came a voice, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." Suddenly, looking around, they no longer saw anyone but Jesus alone with them. As they were coming down from the mountain, he charged them not to relate what they had seen to anyone, except when the Son of Man had risen from the dead. So they kept the matter to themselves, questioning what rising from the dead meant. Sharing of the reading theme. The history of salvation witnessed for Christ. The people's faith in Christ is based on history, not on myth or imagination. This faith is based on many authoritative witnesses of history, which people can verify and their intellect can understand them. The reading of today's Transfiguration want to emphasize this historical progress. In the first reading, the prophet Daniel, about 200 BC, was revealed by God to vision the appearance of the Son of Man after the reign of the four empires, Assyria, Media, Persia, and Rex. The Son of Man, though have a man appeared, but his origin is from heaven. He received his kingship from the Father, shall reign over all nations on earth, and his kingdom shall remain forever. In the Gospel, before Jesus went to Jerusalem to begin his passion, he had brought his three apostles, Peter, James, and John, to the mountain to show them his glory and God's will. They saw Moses and Elijah having a conversation with Jesus about what shall be happen in Jerusalem. Especially they heard the Father witness for his Son. "This is my beloved Son, listen to him." In the second reading, Peter witnessed for Jesus' glory and power by reporting his experience of seeing what had happened on the mountain and by illustrating the prophet who witnessed for Christ in Scripture. Analysis, the first reading. The Ancient One gave him dominion, glory, and kingship. Third point. Daniel, the vision of the Father, the Ancient One. The prophet Daniel reported this vision after his vision of the world for wild beasts. As I was, throne was set up, and the Ancient One took his throne. His clothing was snow bright, and the hair on his head as white as wool. His throne was a flame of fire, with wheel of burning fire. A certain stream of fire flowed out from where he sat. Thousands upon thousands were ministering to him, and myriad upon myriad attending him. The courts were convened, and the books were opened. First, about the history. Most commentaries agree the four wild beasts represent for the four empires, Assyria, Media, Persia, and Rex. As Daniel explained for King Nebuchadnezzar about his dream, a stone which was hewn from a mountain, without a hand being put to it, struck it iron and thorn feet, breaking them in pieces. Daniel chapter 2, verse 34. It meant that After the reign of the four empires is the Son of Man's reign. Second, God the Ancient One is the one who controls the history of the world. He had power over all kings of the world and people. He let a king have power to establish an empire, and he could wipe out that empire to establish a new reign. When he decided, nothing can change his will. The fact that a stone which was hewn from a mountain without a hand being put to it showed his power. Second point, Daniel's vision of the Son of Man and his mission from the Ancient One. Daniel reported, as the vision during the night continued, I saw one like a Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven. When he reached the Ancient One and was presented before him, third, the Son of Man coming on the cloud of heaven, it meant that his origin is from heaven, not from the world, as the four wild beasts at the beginning of the chapter. As the four wild beasts represented for the four empires of the earth, the Son of Man represents for the kingdom of heaven. Second, the Son of Man mission. When he reached the Ancient One and was presented before him, he received dominion, glory, and kingship. Nations and people of every language serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that shall not be taken away. His kingship shall not be destroyed. The Son of Man shall be the king of all nations. Not a single nation shall not be under him. His everlasting dominion and kingdom imply that he shall live forever, and no worldly power could overcome his power. The second reading. These words are a lamp shining in a dark place. Peter wanted to show the faithful that what he spoke about Christ are not myth or imagination, but are based on the foundation of the true witnesses, his personal experience, and the scripture. Third point, Peter's experience of Christ's transfiguration. Mark passage of the transfiguration below confirm what Peter said in this passage. We did not follow cleverly divine myth when we make known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we have been eyewitnesses of His Majesty. Peter is one of the three apostles who witnessed Christ's glory transfiguration. Not only saw Christ's glory, but Peter also heard the Father witness for His Son as Peter described. For he received honor and glory from God the Father when that unique declaration came to him from the majestic glory. This is my Son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased. We ourselves heard his voice come from heaven while we were with him on the holy mountain. This is a very important witness for the apostle faith, because it helped them to put their complete trust in Christ as the Son of God, especially in His passion, death, and glorious resurrection. Second point, Peter's personal experience is confirmed by prophet's word. Besides his personal experience, James and John witnessed it. Peter also had the scripture witnessed to the prophet's words. Peter declared, "Moreover, we possess the prophetic message that is altogether reliable. You will do well to be attentive to it, as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until day dawn and the morning star rises in your hearts." The first prophet we heard in today's reading is the prophet Daniel. Beside him, we also have many words from other prophets, such as Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Amos, Micah, etc. They talk about the Messiah. Peter paid a special attention to the scripture witness, such as the Pentateuch, the prophet, and the Psalm. Because the Jews believed in the book authority, in his sermon before people, see Acts chapter 3, verse 12 to 26, and the Sanhedrin, Acts chapter 4, verses 8 to 21. Peter also paid a special attention to the scripture authority, which talk about Christ's resurrection. If people sincerely study and search the scripture, they shall be enlightened to understand what are still dark in difficult passages, because the whole scripture was enlightened by the one Holy Spirit. Third, the gospel. "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." Third point, Christ's transfiguration on the mountain. St. Mark reports the transfiguration event as followed. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no founder on earth could bleach them. The purpose. In order to understand Jesus' purpose, we need to understand this passage in its content and its historical background. After 6 days, is the time after Peter declared Christ's divinity at Caesarea Philippi, and the fact that he advised Jesus not go up to Jerusalem to accept his suffering. This might be the reason why the church celebrates the Transfiguration on August 6th every year. Jesus' passion is near. There are two things which Jesus wanted his apostles must be sure. First, they must know his identity. This was partly so when Peter, represented for all the apostles, declared, "You are Christ, the Son of the living God." Secondly, his way to save people is through his passion, death, and resurrection. This point, the apostles were not sure. That was why Peter took Jesus aside and prevented him. as most of the contemporary Jews, they believe in a powerful Messiah who shall use power to conquer and to govern people. They couldn't accept a Messiah who must suffer and die on the cross. Therefore, Jesus wanted to bring his three apostles to the mountain so that they know for sure his relationship with God. The suffering way he is going to pass through according to God's plan of salvation, and he let them see his glory before they witnessed his suffering. Second, the presence of Moses and Elijah. Then Elijah appeared to them along with Moses, and they were conversing with Jesus. Moses represents for the law. God gave the Ten Commandments and his decree to Moses. He is also considered as the foundation of the law. And today, even so, the law must orient thought Christ to be perfect and complete. Elijah represents for the prophets. He is considered as the most regarded prophet because of his preaching and power to work miracles. And today, even so, the book of the prophet must orient thought Christ in order to find the completion of the prophecy about the Messiah. What did they converse about? Based on the apostle question below, we can know for sure that the topic of their conversation is about Jesus' passion, death, and resurrection. Luke account clearly said the topic of their conversation is about his exodus event, which is going to happen in Jerusalem. See Luke chapter 9, verses 30 to 31. Therefore, both the law and the prophet witnessed and found their completion in Christ, especially in his coming passion, death, and resurrection. Second point, the Father witnessed for his Son. Then a cloud came, casting a shadow over them. Then from the cloud came a voice, "This is my beloved Son, listen to him." This is the second time which the Father witnessed for Jesus, his beloved Son. The first time happened when John the Baptist baptized Jesus at Jordan River. Listen to him. It's the most commandment for Christ's disciple. To the apostle, God want them to listen to what Christ is revealing to them, even though it is against their expectation about the Messiah, but it is according to God's plan. To the faithful, it must be the verse of their life. They must believe and do what Christ teaches them to do, because when they do so, they are guaranteed that they are doing according to God's will, and the result shall certainly be good. Application in life. Our faith is the result of God's revelation and the witnesses of many authoritative witnesses in history passed to us. It isn't easy for people to accept suffering and the cross, but to us, those who have faith, suffering and the cross are God's plan to save people. Amen.